It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Remember, bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. It's quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings Sportsbook is now offering a mobile casino in Pennsylvania. DraftKings Sportsbook and Casino offers an endless amount of casino games to play, all from the comfort of home. Right now, all first-time casino players can play up to $200 risk-free for the first 24 hours. You just have to download the app, and it'll open up the whole door to slots and blackjack and roulette, whatever you like. My personal choice is blackjack. I've been enjoying that a lot since we got the casino action on DraftKings, and you can too. All you need to do is download the DraftKings Sportsbook and Casino app and use promo code KSN. You play your first 24 hours of casino risk-free up to $200 using promo code KSN. That's risk-free up to $200 for your first 24 hours of casino play on DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Okay, welcome back in. Greg Pickle, you ready for quarter number two, Greg?
I am. Let's do it. Hopefully I sound better this time around.
You sound much better, Greg. We'll get this technology figured out one of these weeks. It's only been about 2 months we're doing this.
That's right.
Here's what we're going to do, Greg. There's been a lot of news out the last couple of weeks. College administrators, different folks are coming out telling us what they believe is going to happen as far as the college football season goes. And I have certain reactions to it. I want to present those to you and allow you to correct me where I'm wrong. So hence the title, correct me when I'm wrong.
But let's do it.
Now, you also have a choice. You could also say, hey, Jim, you're right. There's nothing more I could add. There's no way I could state it as eloquently as you did. So those are your choices. But
all right. I like them.
Let's start with this. The Northwestern president came out and said he thinks that all 14 Big Ten teams are going to play this year. And that's great. Great news. Now, here's the second half of the statement. But if any of the teams can't play, none of them will. Really? If 12 out of 14 Big Ten schools are ready to play, you really think that Ohio State's going to say, you know what? We're not going to have a season this year because Rutgers can't play.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the biggest problem, right, Jim, is that there's some states in the Big Ten, or, you know, you don't have to define it or confine it to the Big Ten. You can talk in the SEC or the Big 12 or the Pac-12. There's certain areas of the country that are going to reopen faster than others. And I have a hard time seeing colleges and universities not doing everything they can to keep really what is the economic engine of their, you know, their university, their athletic department, certainly. I have a hard time thinking they're not going to start that up if 12 or 14 or 10 or 14 or 7 or 14 even can play. So I have a hard time believing the Northwestern president. I think you're right on with this one. That there's almost virtually no chance that they're not going to have a, you know, they won't have a season just because everyone can't play. I just don't see how that's going to work. I know it'll make things complicated because how do you do the revenue sharing and all that? Of course, it's all based on having 14 teams or whatever, but I just don't see a way where you're going to have, you know, you're going to have teams decide just to not play and just kind of sit around and wait because of the fact that they are, you know, unable to play or unable to have all schools play.
And you alluded to it, Greg, but I am going to give you the specific reason why this is the case, all right? Here's the specific reason. In fact, instead of one reason, I'm going to give you 54 million reasons. That is the take for each Big Ten team on the television contract.
Yeah. And I mean, again, you know, one of the things that's fascinating about all of this, no matter what you're talking about, whether you're talking about the NFL or the NBA or anything, is just the money here is fascinating to me, because I think that what it comes down to is that the TV ratings are going to be through the roof, even if stadiums are allowed to open again, because of the fact that, you know, people want to sit at home and watch live sports. We saw that this weekend. So I think that you know, one of the things that's going to be interesting about all this is how much will leagues charge, you know, charge these television networks who, you know, are probably trying to, you know, do their own financial maneuvering to get some money back from the sports that didn't take place. So I don't know. It's really interesting kind of an equation to figure out here.
And the other part of that, you know, money deal, it's not just the university in general, but the folks who are at the colleges in charge of making this happen. And, you know, no offense at Penn State specifically, but we know what the compensation of the head coach at Penn State is, and his assistant coach, and the athletic director, and right, the slew of assistant athletic directors. At what point, if you're not going to have college football, are some of these universities going to say, you know what, we can't be, keep paying out these multi-million dollar contracts unless we've got a product out there that we're selling?
And correct, yeah.
You know, the other part of this equation is, remember, you know, about a month or so ago, all the news was they're going to play in the spring. We're not going to play till the spring, and hopefully we have a vaccination by then. You know what? Why are we not hearing that anymore? Again,
money.
54 million reasons. And
correct.
Yeah, okay, I want to thank you for agreeing with me on the first one. Now, let me give you the next one. Some of the California schools, like there's two different groups of California schools. I'm not sure how they name them, but the one group includes like San Jose State and San Diego State. Don't confuse this with like the UCLA and Cal Berkeley and all the, you know, the Pac-12 schools. But they have said that they're going to have remote learning in the fall, in essence saying students aren't going to be there, and that they've all been saying, gee, if students aren't on campus, we can't put our student athletes on campus to play.
Right. Correct.
Well, let me finish the point, and then you could tell me why I'm wrong. The premise is the Mountain West League, where those teams play, they might play without those teams, which means not only do they not get all the television money and all that, but how soon before the players on those teams hit the transfer portal?
Right, and I thought it was pretty interesting that they, you know, the Mountain West was really quick to react, as were those three schools, one of which, of course, Penn State's supposed to play, San Jose State, came out and said, look, we're not making any final decisions yet. We haven't made up our mind in terms of what this means for sports, and I think there's obviously a pretty clear reason for that. It's that they don't know how they're going to survive if they don't have sports and they don't have football specifically. So I think that what they decided to do was tap the brakes on that, even though obviously they seem pretty pretty invested on moving the academic side of things online. You know, the sports leagues are like, well, wait, if you don't let us play, we're going to, like you said, not only just lose all of our players, but also lose a lot of money in the process. So I don't think it's going to work out maybe the way it looks like it's going to work out right now.
Well, let me give you one more premise, and I haven't read anyone talk about this, but I think it's going to be the case. Again, remember, for the longest time, oh, we're not going to play till the spring. Well, that seems to have gone away. We don't hear that talk. Then we're adamant. We're not going to play without fans. Well, I guess we're potentially going to do that. Then it's, we're not going to play unless the other students are on campus. But if you read the fine print on all of those schools that are going to have classes online, there are still going to be a handful of students who will be on campus. There are just certain things, labs and practical experience things, where the students have to be on campus. There's no way to avoid it. So in my mind, I think we just found the loophole. We do have some students on campus. So, oops, guess what? Let's just add a couple more student athletes and their work experiences playing football. Am I wrong there, Greg?
No, I don't think so. In fact, I think that is exactly what it is. And I understand that from the academic side of things, it's easy to sort of say, well, look, we need to have these classes because there's no other way to conduct the learning process. But I do think it'll be used as a loophole and a backdoor to get people onto, you know, athletes rather, not people, but athletes onto campus with other people. And the question is, how many sports are they going to have to allow to make it all work? Is it just football? Is it football and a bunch of other things? I guess that's the question. But so far, Jim, we are in complete agreement in this segment.
Well, you know, that it's an interesting question when you say, is it football? Is it all the sports? And, you know, the old saying, if there's a will, there's a way. I prefer to say if there's millions of dollars, there's a way. And that millions of dollars comes from football. And I believe you'll also start seeing the spin of, well, gee, if, you know, you have a campus that normally has 20,000 students, but because of the situation, we end up only with 2,000 students on campus, I think the argument becomes, well, gee, look how safe our student athletes are because attendance is so sparse here on campus. It makes it much safer for them. So the environment is even better for them to be here. So I think as long as nothing bad really happens between now and then, that I find it hard to believe you're going to have universities not playing because there's too much to sacrifice, not just with current money, but the prospect of losing so many players to the transfer portal. And I don't think there's any way you could deny a student from transferring when his alternative is, hey, there's no football here at this school. So I just think that would that's not going to be the case. What do you think, Greg?
Yeah, I think that would define the circumstances that meet a reason to transfer without losing a year of eligibility, right? I mean, when your school doesn't have a sport you want to play, that's basically the only, you know, that's probably the greatest reason anyone could possibly have for transferring. So, yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I think obviously schools are going to try and find a way that best they can to get this season in. And, you know, you're right, though. We were talking about a spring season, then we were talking about an October start, maybe no conference games. I mean, who knows? Sounds like the NCAA is in no rush to make a decision here. I think they're going to have to decide something. I know the NCAA doesn't control college football. They control, you know, the conferences control the college football playoffs, which of course controls college football. But to me, Jim, they got to make a decision by mid-July. But I do agree with you. They're going to find some way, somehow, to not only get kids back on campus for education, but also for sports as well.
Yeah, that's exactly it. All right, Greg, you and I are in agreement. We are going to see football in the fall, and that's the most important thing, and I'm willing to watch it in my living room. All right, next up, Greg, we're going to have Ask Greg, so stick with us.
So, what's so different about new Labatt Blue Citra? Could be the bright hop aroma. Or the crisp, clean finish. That all come together for a new kind of refreshing. Brewed with Citra and Mosaic hops, all new Labatt Blue Citra delivers ultimate drinkability and a new way to get up and get out. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Everyone knows AAA gives you peace of mind when you're out on the road. But did you know you get other perks as well? Besides providing reliable roadside service for over 100 years, AAA also provides great discounts on entertainment, prescriptions, rental cars, hotels, insurance, and so much more. Take advantage of everything AAA has to offer. Purchase, renew, or upgrade your membership today at AAA.com.
DraftKings Sportsbook is offering a mobile casino in Pennsylvania. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook and Casino app now and use promo code KSN to play your first 24 hours of casino risk-free up to $200. That's promo code KSN to play risk-free up to $200 for your first 24 hours of casino play on DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.